Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Alrighty, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery. Always excited about Mind Shift Monday. Sorry for the delay there. It looks like we're already having some technical stuff going on with Blog Talk, but the party does not stop. So welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio. For those of you that are new to the show, Mind Shift Talk Radio is a show for you. It is for those individuals that are interested in growing in every area of their lives, whether you're looking to experience growth in your personal development, your finances, your relationships, spiritually, professionally, whatever it may be. This is a show where we come together and we discuss everything across the board in hopes that we will continue to encourage you, to motivate you, and help you to create that mind shift, that paradigm shift that you need to be successful. So thank you for tuning in. Those of you that are listening online at mindshifttalkradio.com, be sure to join us in the chat room. The chat room will be opening up for you shortly. Also, if you're listening by phone, feel free to call us with any questions, comments, or concerns. Tonight's conversation is very interesting, to say the least, and I'm sure many of you will have something to say, you know, some comments or something like that, some opinions that you may want to share. So feel free to give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. We have an awesome guest panel that's joining us tonight, and they're going to be sharing so much awesome information with you. Also, if you're not our friend, before I introduce them, I just want to make sure I cover all this stuff. If you are not our friend yet on Facebook, shame on you, but you still have time to do so. Go ahead and join us on Facebook, Mindshift Talk Radio. So it's facebook.com/Mindshift Talk Radio. And if you're new to Blog Talk, just hit the follow link right there on our page, and you can stay connected to us. So thank you again for tuning in. But without any further ado, before we get this conversation started, I'm going to introduce you to my partner in success and crime, my sister that keeps me cracking up all the time, Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. Hey, lady.
Hey.
Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you.
We got some, look at our panel's already ready to roll with the conversation. They're already out there busting out. So, sister, before we get started with this week's show, I just want to go over the recap from last week and find out if there's anything that stood out to you. For those of you that may have missed the show last week, we had a phenomenal guest that joined us. Actually, a certified public accountant and tax professional was here with us last week, Karen Robinson-DeLee, and she shared some great information, some timely information. She was talking about taxes and talking about things that we can do, whether we're looking at our personal taxes, our business taxes, that we can do to be better prepared for next year and some things that we may have missed this year. So what was your greatest takeaway from the show last week?
I need some dependents.
Yeah, that was a big one. And that was a big one.
That I can even use the adult ones that I have, so that's awesome. That's awesome.
You are so crazy, I promise. It was a great show, guys. Definitely go online and check out the replay at mindshifttalkradio.com. All the replays are there. And make sure that you're sharing this information with friends and family members. It's one thing for you to come here and get all this juicy information, but it's another thing for you to be able to share it and bless some other people with the information as well. So please do that. Now, get rolling for tonight. You know, I just want to jump right into it because, you know, we don't have a lot of time. And I know, sister, you've been posting this show on Facebook and so forth. I've been posting it from the first day that the post came out. We had comments on this.
Yeah.
So I think that obviously this is something that needs to be discussed, right?
Indeed.
What kind of feedback have you been getting so far, even before the show started?
All kinds. One that I liked was that if men would, like, man up and just step up to the plate and do what they're supposed to do, there wouldn't be no need for role reversals. That was an interesting one. One friend said a woman's place is in the kitchen and in the bedroom. Yeah, so I just lots of thoughts on such. Lots of thoughts. But some really, like, great and insightful ones talking about it being a partnership and a collaboration and all that great stuff as well. I had a friend email me from Afghanistan, and I'll post it on the Mindshift site later on this evening after tonight's show. But it was just very insightful and real and honest. They do what works for them.
All righty. Well, let me say this before we get started with this conversation. As you already heard some of the comments that were shared on Facebook, when you listen to Mindshift Talk Radio, you may not agree with everything that you hear on the show or everything that's being said, but we ask that you are open, that we're always respectful, especially when we're having these roundtable discussions and having callers call in. So if you do decide that you'd like to call in and we do decide to take your call, please make sure that you're being respectful of others' opinions, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. We're going to agree to disagree, basically. So we're going to go ahead and introduce you to our guest panel that's joining us. And I think we have a really hot guest panel, and you guys will see why shortly. But I'm going to go ahead and allow them to introduce themselves. So I'm going to start off with, who do I want to start with? Let's start off with our expert professional counselor on the line. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Good evening. I am Colina Brown, and I'm excited to be here. I've been listening. I've known Stacy for a couple, 3 years now, and I'm so excited about her growth and her passion to be a connector. I call people who stand in the gap those people who connect. And my initial thoughts on tonight's topic is that if you see roles, i.e., positions that people should hold for particular reasons, then I think there's a need to examine it. I think that if we throw the roles out of the door and just let people do what they do best, there would be very little or any controversy.
All righty. And tell them what your profession is, Colina.
I'm a professional therapist. I work with mental health patients. I work with families and children. I work with substance abusers. Do a lot of work with relationships. A lot of work with relationships. Can I say that one more time? A lot of work.
I wonder if there's a correlation between relationships and substance abuse.
That's a whole survival.
I'm clocking my 28th year, so I've been doing it for a little bit of time.
That's why you're our expert. So we're going to go ahead to our next guest. And this gentleman is someone that was introduced to us by Sister Big Bone, someone that she holds close to her heart. So I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself to the audience.
Hey, this is J.R. Anderson. I'm downstairs in my basement because I have a very strong woman, and she doesn't know I'm on the phone with some other woman, so I don't want to get hurt. No, I'm joking. This is J.R. Anderson. I'm 41 years old. I'm originally from the Bronx, New York. My parents are from Jamaica, West Indies. I'm married with four children who are all grown, 18, 19, 21, and 24. I'm an entrepreneur, business owner of Royalty Transportation, which is a medical transportation company here in the Atlanta metro area. And my wife is not just my life partner, but she's my business partner, 50-50.
All righty. Thank you. Welcome to the panel, JR.
Thank you.
All right. The next individual that's going to introduce herself is truly dear to my heart. We've been friends for probably over, I won't even age us like that, but a long time. So I'm going to go ahead and allow you to introduce yourself to the panel.
Hello. My name is Tia. I am new to this panel. Actually, even though Stacy is my bestie, I haven't really been on here, but I feel like I need to support my sister. I'm very familiar with the subject that we are talking about because there's been times where I was the breadwinner and there's been times where my husband has been the breadwinner. I have been married going on 19 years, which is a long time. And I have seen the ups and downs of the financial thing. And let me just say that this is so dear to my heart because financial status is the main reason for divorce, period, across the board. Doesn't matter about white, black, social being, it is the main reason for divorce. So I feel very passionate about this.
All righty. Thank you for joining us, Tia.
You're welcome, hey. Tika.
And let me just put this public apology out there before we introduce our last guest panelist, because I received a personal message saying that it sounds like I'm in the restroom right now, so I guess there's some feedback from my mic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. I'll work on that while we're going in the conversation, so just know that I'll be working on that. But I apologize. I'm sorry, guys. All righty, and so the last individual, certainly not least, another great person to have on the panel. I think he's going to bring so much value to this conversation. He's another dear friend and this amazing person, so I'm going to let him introduce himself as well.
Well, hey, everybody. This is McCartney Ford. Like Stacey said, we've been good friends for a number of years now. Look forward to bringing whatever I have to bring to this conversation. Hopefully, will be something that will enrich the conversation.
Testimony and tell us about your family life as well.
I've been married about 15 months, but my wife and I have been together for nearly a decade. We have three beautiful children, ages 6, 7 years, and 7 months, two boys and one girl. So, you know, that's the makeup of our family, and we've found ways to make it work over the years. You know, there have been times in the past where we've butt heads because we each wanted to have our own way, but I think over the years we've learned to let the other be the yin to the yang, so to speak, and just, you know, let her be strong where she's strong, and she lets me be strong where she's strong, and we just kind of support each other in that way. And I think that's really what helps make relationships and marriages last, is when you just really understand each other and how, and each understanding how the other works, and just letting the other be who they are without trying to change them, and just accepting
Amen.
Other for who they are and loving them anyway.
All righty. Thank you, and welcome to the panel.
All right.
He already laid it out there. He already putting it down. See? All right. So let's get the conversation started. Sister, do you want to go ahead and start the convo off, or do you want me to do that?
You go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to start off with something very simple just to get it started, just a little conversation teaser, I guess. But when we first put this topic out there, like I said, when we first posted the title for the show, Who Wears the Pants in the Relationship, I want to hear from you guys. What were your thoughts? What were you thinking when you first saw the topic posted for the show? What are some things that came to mind? And anyone can jump in.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. I know for a fact, being a real estate agent myself, my husband being an entrepreneur himself, it has been times where I was a stay-at-home mom and he did all the working. Like, I didn't work in a pie factory. And he never made me feel like, because he was the breadwinner, that I had to succumb to any rules or regulations. A lot of times when people are the breadwinner, be it man or woman, they set ground rules. Well, you can't do this, you can't buy that, you can't have that. And to me, that's a lack of communication. Anytime that you use money or finances or the fact that you are paying the bills as, can I say, a control factor, that's a big no-no right there to begin with. So let me go on this out. It was a time where he decided that he wanted to quit his job because I was at the time making great money as a real estate agent. I supported him. And I never made him feel less of a man for me supporting him, because I wanted him to ultimately reach his goal, reach his best. And I feel as a couple, whether you're married or not, I'm not even going to say this is a couple, a married couple, you have to work together. It is teamwork. A lot of people don't get it. You take care of me. I take care of you. But I will say this, and then I'll let somebody else speak. You have to have a man or woman that is able to accept the fact that you are making more than them. Because I know a lot of times that's the issue, that some people, a lot of men, let's just say, because they want to be the head of the household, feel inferior when the man is making less money. He was man enough to let me be the breadwinner, and I love him for that, and to let me help him be ultimately the breadwinner of it all, because now he owns his own business and he's doing well. He's been in business for over 8-9 years now. So I just say that it's a yin-yang thing, just like the gentleman said, and it's just support of each other. And it's not even about the money. A lot of people don't realize that when you are making finances and wearing the pants an issue, it is the money has nothing to do with it. It's a control issue. But I'll let somebody else talk.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to jump in here and say is that what's most important to me is for people to realize their own fundamental orientation to how they do life. It's interesting to listen, as I've been doing, and it's hard for me. I know Stacey knows that, for me to listen. I'm going to try to find the briefest way to say this. I agree a lot of what's being said, but the thing is, when we talk about relationships, the most important thing is for us to understand that we're operating inside of our own worldview, i.e. the way we were parented to think. And that's what's most important, because if we were taught to believe that there is such thing as someone who wears the pants, then we're going to operate in that. If we were taught that somehow is a quote-unquote breadwinner, then that's how we're going to operate. My position is, if we're able to look at people, as I said, I attempted to say earlier, as just humans, even inside the relationship, and allow people to do and be as it naturally flows, I think that's easier. It eliminates any chance for any insults. However, if that is the way you are parented, then the match would be to find someone with like parenting, so there would be little conflict. Personally, I think that I've come from a place where I shed any labels. I really want to be able to just do what makes sense to me. And I even refrain from using the word wife and husband. That's just me.
I wanted to ask a question since you guys brought that up. Is what is your definition of a breadwinner, and what does wearing the pants mean? Because I agree with you on the point that these labels we put on ourselves, it differs from person to person and from culture to culture. But what are your take on what does wearing the pants mean and being a breadwinner?
Can I say something? I will say this. Me, per se, I don't believe in labels. I use it because then I know that everybody can understand what I'm saying in layman's terms. I feel like what I mean by the breadwinner is whoever makes the most money has the power. That's what society believes.
But why is it about who makes the most money? How does it get to be the most money if we're together?
From a man's standpoint,
Making money, you can make more money, but you can be a poor steward. I can do more. My wife made twice as much as I did in the early 90s, and I was able to show her how we could do more with less. And now, now that we own a business, we're better balanced. But let's not be too up in the heavens. From a financial point, it's no secret. When people have more purchasing power, they tend to have more leverage. And that's just the way it is.
Purchasing power should be the purchasing power of the couple, and if there is a differentiation of who generates that, then therein lies the issue.
Yes.
Now, I agree. We agree. We are totally in agreement. But this is the way society has placed it for so many people. I myself feel like the reason that we are successful and that I was able to help my because we don't put those limitations and those labels on ourselves. Me and my husband never said, this is yours, this is yours. We never had separate bank accounts. We never claimed any of our finances as separately. Once we had became a couple and we were together, it was never a separate thing. And a lot of people, let's just be honest, everything to them, this is mine, I made this, I made this, I made that. And that's
those are the people that you give my number to and have them come to therapy.
I need to get there's a lot of them out there. And they give me
all my number.
When I said I share
tell you
everything.
Let me hear what JR has to say really quick, guys. Go ahead, JR.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the two shall be one, and that's the key. I think we're agreeing that we come together as husband and wife to be better as a couple. If my wife is great at planning vacations, I'm horrible at it. So when it comes to, you know, if we're going on vacation, she's the one who plans a vacation. I'm better at purchasing a car. I'm better with dealing with taxes. My wife is a better organizer. We know our strengths and our weaknesses. Now, the key is, and that's why therapy is needed, who is willing and are you both willing to notice each other's strengths and weaknesses? And that was actually going to be one of my questions is, do people know that they're – do you know what a man is and do you know what a woman is? Because I think those are the two labels that we should be really concentrating on.
Let me tell you.
There's a huge difference a man and a woman and a male and a female.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm
I want to hear what that is.
Oh, I like to put things out there and wait to hear. But if you want me to expound on it, I will. Because oftentimes what I realized over the last 30 close years of working with couples that people, again, come from their own original orientation and believe that being a man means something other than what it really means. We're born, I believe, into our female and our male roles. However, it takes a lot to become a man, a woman, and there's a lot of characteristics that I don't think are necessarily attributed to those things just because society says so. And I think that causes a lot of issues because, like, I think what we're talking about tonight is part of what the problems are, these design roles that someone else has defined,
yeah.
And then we try to push ourselves into them, and it doesn't work. So just
yeah.
Because you were born a male, you don't necessarily have to fall into what society says a man will do and vice versa. And that's why I agree with a lot of what I'm hearing is if we are all being open and honest and true, then it doesn't
yeah.
necessarily matter who brings in the money. What matters is if the couple's working together, then things
you
are going to work out.
You have said a mouthful.
Brother, I want to ask the brother to chime in because men, we tend to be stronger physically and normally less compassionate and less emotional. You know, we're known for war,
and
hunting, sports, and protective. I'm sorry?
Well, if you ask me, you can sum up, and everybody's been saying it since we've been on, the best way to sum up the recipe, if you will, to any healthy relationship, be it a marriage, a romantic relationship, a casual relationship, business relationship, is three elements, three ingredients: respect, communication, and trust. You have to have
yeah.
all three of those things. You have to have all three, and they all work together.
Please, and brother,
sure.
Both brothers and all the sisters on the line, please let me say this. When we put those words out there, please understand that in most cases, the two individuals have two different definitions for each of those
yes.
words. So don't
okay.
just leave the words hanging, assuming that you're saying the same thing. Because
right.
What were the three again? Give me the three again.
Respect, communication, and trust. And if I can
right. When you say
kind
respect,
of go back.
Yes, define it via your experience. Listen to your mate. Define it via her or his experience. Because that's what I find. We use words and we leave them hanging with the assumption that we're saying the same thing. And
right, great point, Kalina. I'm sorry to interrupt you right there. But I need to do the station identification really quick. Everyone, you're listening to Mindshift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and her Mindshift crew. Tonight, holding it down, it's Sister Big Bones. And we're talking about role reversals and gender roles in modern-day relationships.
Okay.
I believe Stacey has a caller in queue.
All right, we have Estella from Alabama. Estella, can you hear us?
Yes.
Welcome to Mindshift. What did you want to share on the topic tonight?
I just kind of really wanted to say that it really doesn't matter who makes the most money. Still, a man needs to be a man in the household. That means making sure that the house is in order, you know. And I just kind of recently got out of a relationship with this situation. You know, I was pretty much doing everything as far as, like, paying the bills, putting food in the house, everything, paying the rent. And
Estella, can you, I'm sorry to cut you off. Can you do us a favor and turn your computer down? We can hear the show in the background. It's really loud.
Okay.
Okay.
And,
go ahead.
And I understood from the jump when he moved in that, you know, he had some stuff he had, you know, going on. And I understood that, you know. But still, there should have been a balance, you know, within the situation. You know, if I'm doing all of this, you can at least cook and clean up or something, you know. But, you know, it all fell on me. And we will always argue about the situation, you know, because I'm like, well, I'm doing all of this, so why can't you do the non-financial things in the household, you know. So, I mean, it really doesn't matter who's making the most money. I mean, if he was, and then even if he didn't want to do all of that by himself, he should have been, you know, delegating. Okay, well, Stella, you know, you do this right here, and I'll do this right here, and your daughter do this right here. But he didn't do that. You know, he just stood back and just didn't do anything. So when it finally came to a head, he wanted to get mad and leave and say he didn't feel like a man. And I told him, I said, well, you really don't feel like a man because you're not really doing anything to be a man in the household. So, you know, I just feel like, you know, and that situation right there, you know, if someone is doing the more financial things, the other one can help out and do the non-financial thing. It should be a balance between the two.
That's a great point. Well, thank you for calling in, Estella. We appreciate you taking the time to call in, okay?
Thanks,
okay.
All right. Hey, I wanted to ask, my question earlier was, what is a man and what is a woman? Men tend to be stronger physically. You know, we're because just physically how we're born, and it's noted sometimes that we tend to be less emotional. So, are we built better to handle being the breadwinner? Meaning, are we built better to handle a 50-60 hour week? I asked Sister Big Bones earlier, who should be the breadwinner? And of course, you know, it comes down to who's more capable, but. Just for conversation's sake, I want to ask the ladies, who should be the breadwinner?
Let me just say this. There should be no definition. Guess who should be the breadwinner? Whoever is making the most money. That's just the common sense of it. What it is we as a couple have to work together. When I say that, it is okay if I'm the breadwinner and my husband handles all the household. He has held it down for me, again, as I stated before, many times. When he became the one that wasn't the breadwinner, he took care of the stuff that I normally, like picking up the kids, soccer practice, everything that I normally didn't handle, he handled. And we were okay with the role reversal because I always let him feel that he was the man of this family. Just because you at home doing the dishes and you cooking and you cleaning doesn't mean you're any less of a man. And
but you just answered it. You said, is that a role reversal? That's what the question is. Who should be the breadwinner?
society says it's a role reversal, but it's not. We have to get out
it's
of
it. It's not a role reversal. So if after the baby's born, it's okay for the husband to stay at home, or it's more important for the, since the wife makes more money in a certain situation, it's more important for her.
Understand
right.
That if it's a newborn, a mother has to stay home, has to nurture her baby, has to breastfeed, has to connect with that child. But I'm going to be honest with you. Before I would send my child to a daycare, by all means, I would love for my husband to stay home if I was the breadwinner. So I just feel like I just think we put too many definitions on man's versus woman versus what is best for the family as a whole.
Right.
Well, I'm
going to
put it out there. I want to be the breadwinner
of
my family.
Hold on one second, Jay. I have a question for you guys. McCartney, I'm actually coming to you. I'm going to ask the question, and I want you to answer it first, McCartney.
Okay.
One of the first initial comments that was made when we started the show, I think Tia made the statement about how finance is probably the number one reason, and Kalina would be able to support this statement or not, in terms of divorce in our society. But we're here talking about all this role reversal and what men should do and what women should do and so forth, and we are clear that the divorce rate is much higher now versus 20, even 30 years ago, when roles in relationships were very different than they are now. Now, quite a lot has taken place in our economy and in society in general where we have more men being at home, taking care of the family, rearing the children and so forth, while women are out making more money. There's several factors and reasons for that. One can be education, for example. But with that being said, do you guys feel that now that the roles have been reversed in a sense where you have more women making more money, having more professional jobs and so forth and leaving the home, do you guys think that that could be a reason that we see a higher divorce rate now? And I'll let you answer that first, McCartney.
Well, I would just say that I think far too much emphasis, at least in my opinion, is placed on the financial state in relationships and marriages in general, because I can guarantee you if my wife got a job making $1 million an hour tomorrow, the dynamics in my household won't change.
Amen, my brother.
I'm still the man of this house. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter.
Amen.
There was actually...
No, I don't know what you mean. Tell me what you mean.
Okay. What I'm saying is there's been times there was a time in the past where I was unemployed and my wife was the sole breadwinner. And yes, inside it ate me alive that, you know, watching my wife get up and go to work every day and I was at home taking care of the house, but that didn't make me feel any less of a man. If anything, it motivated me more to do what I needed to do to get back on my feet. But even still, at the end of the day, the dynamics in my house didn't change. I was still the man of the house, and she was still the woman of the house.
Wow.
And that's just, my kids didn't roll their eyes at me when I told them to do so because I didn't go to work that day. You know, my wife didn't teach. That's, what I'm saying is that there's far too much emphasis placed on finances. You know what I'm saying? if my wife was the sole breadwinner, that doesn't make me any less of a man. And it wouldn't make me feel any less of a man. It might motivate me a little bit more, you know.
But why would it?
It wouldn't.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I feel very strongly about this because I sat home for, like, more than 7 years as a stay-at-home. I'm blessed to have been able to do it, sit home and let my husband just be the breadwinner. When I can make more money than him and I can step up to the plate and do something better for my family as a whole, why should I make him or even let society dictate to him that he is less of a man because now I am in the financial position to do better for our family? No, that is not acceptable. I don't accept that.
If I could speak to that for a second. There should be nothing that you or society or anybody else can say that can make your husband feel like he's less of a man. You know?
No, I'm saying, but we're talking in general. So I'm just talking in general. We didn't let the outside influence our situation, which is why we continue to grow as husband and wife. again, I said it, we've been married for 19 years. It's, that's a long haul.
Congratulations.
Long haul. So I know from where I speak, and the proof is in the pudding. You understand? We're both happy. Daisy can speak for us. I think we're one of the couples that a lot of people aspire to be like. Not to brag on myself or to toot my own horn, but I think something is right in this situation because we don't listen to what society tells us and we do what is best for the family as a whole. Again,
brother and sister, can you answer, though? Can he answer and you answer? I know I answered. I want to be the breadwinner because I would love to have it where my wife didn't have to work. I'm not in that situation. We own a business. We both put in 50 to 60 hours. Sometimes my wife works harder than me because she works in the operations parts of our business.
Right.
But I'm asking the brother, and then I want the sister to answer, who would you, let me not say who should be the breadwinner, who would you want to be the breadwinner?
Well, first, as long as, you know, the good Lord gives me breath and a strong back and I can get up and go somewhere, and I don't care if it's, you know, digging ditches or flipping burgers, whatever I got to do, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna be winning some. I may not be winning all the bread, but I'll be bringing something to the table as long as I'm able.
Right.
The only situation I could see myself not contributing to my family financially is if, God forbid, I just wasn't physically able. If I'm in a wheelchair, if I'm a vegetable, that's the only way. That is going to be that way. Now,
I'll take that, brother.
To his point though, my goal, and it's not a goal that I'm just speaking to in an abstract way. I'm actually working towards putting my family into a position to where my wife doesn't have to work. Now, that doesn't mean that she has to sit at home and prance around in an apron all day. If she wants to work, I want her to be able to do what she wants to do, not what she has to do. I just think she should have that option. That's what works for me and mine. That's not necessarily what should work for all, but that's what works for the folks in my four walls.
Okay, go ahead.
Stacy, to go back to what you said earlier about the statistics, if someone were to ask me what was the premier statistics that attributed to the divorce rate, I would say immaturity, because for me that covers everything. Because whatever we're dealing with in our relationships, the level of maturity dictates the outcome. And let me just say this while I have the opportunity. I still hear a lot of labels and a lot of ownership of definitions of quote-unquote roles, and just therapeutically, I feel it necessary to say, if we don't pay attention to that, then we are living inside of it, and whether we think we're not somehow affected by it, I must vehemently disagree, and so much so that one of the brothers said it, because if you don't really understand it, then if something were to happen to you and you may become unable to do that thing that was bringing in that money that then shored up that definition of this quote-unquote breadwinner that you guys keep talking about, you will be so affected by that emotionally and psychologically, and I think that is where a lot of the issues lie. Even when we talk about being free of those things, you guys keep going back to those labels, and you even sound like you take a sense of pride of saying, I can be that one that does that.
Amen.
And I want you to just really think about it in a different way, because at the end of the day, it is the person who can, for whatever reason, and it is the person who can, for whatever reason. So that if something happens and you can't, it doesn't take away from anything that makes you who you are, be it male or female. You're doing it because you can. And when something happens that you can't, you're still a whatever. If I'm
That's
making
why
so much, so much to this.
Hold on one second, guys. Hold on one second. I appreciate that, Kalina. All I can say is that was smooth like butter right there. You just laid that thing out so perfectly. I just that was awesome. But ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mindshift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister Big Bones Warren. You are listening to our guest panel, and tonight's discussion is who wears the pants in your relationship, and you can take that any way you choose to take that. I do want to say special shout out to all our folks in the chat room. I'm telling you, the guys in the chat room, the guys and gals in the chat room are really dropping some nuggets, and I want to share some of that stuff that they're talking about in the chat room, but special shout-out to Chris Gloss, the Possibilitarian, my brother Billy Miller, the motivational minister up there. I see Estella Spencer, Faith Renee, and it was like Cool Veg. Cool Veg was there. I think I scared Cool Veg off or something. I'm not sure. But anywho, shout-out to the people in the chat room. And I did want to say there's quite a few of you on the phone lines. It's unfortunate that we just can't take all the calls tonight because we're down to the last few minutes of the show, but there's so many of you guys there. So thank you for tuning in to Mindshift Talk Radio. If there's any questions or comments, anything that you'd like to discuss that we can't share tonight, feel free to hit us up on Facebook. That's facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Also, you can send us an email at mindshifttalkradio@gmail.com. But again, you're listening to our guest panel. We have our licensed professional counselor and therapist, Kalina, here. We have Tia, which is our real estate guru on the line. We have McCartney, our actor extraordinaire. We have Mr. J.R. holds it down for the entrepreneurs. And we have my sister, Big Bones, as well. So this is a great conversation. But guys, I do want to share some stuff that's been shared in the chat room. Now, Chris Gloss made a great comment, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this first, JR, and then I want to hear from McCartney, because I do want to hear the two guys before we get the ladies involved. But he made a comment, since this came from a gentleman, I want to hear what you have to say. He says that selfishness destroys more relationships than money, and I want to hear your thoughts about that, JR.
The best way for me to explain that is a situation. My parents were divorced after 19 years of marriage, and it was because when my mom became a nurse, she saw the opportunity to buy better things for her family. And in turn, my dad had a fourth grade education, but he was a welder, and he was always the breadwinner. But the selfishness came in because my mom felt that she couldn't bring my dad around her nurse and doctor friends because he wasn't able to speak as well as they were able to speak, or he wasn't able to dress the part. So, yes, selfishness can destroy a relationship based on the fact that you're not balanced enough or like the doctor said earlier, mature enough to understand the other person's needs and validations. One thing I did want to share or actually just say is that men are looking for validation in the home, and a lot of times women are looking for validation outside of the home. And instead of us working together to validate one another, it seems that the scale is a little unbalanced. One person is either wanting more than they're giving. So, yes, selfishness is can decay a relationship.
All righty, McCartney, what are your thoughts?
I mean, absolutely. Selfishness is one of the many things that can kill a relationship, because at the end of the day, you have to, if you can't have a healthy relationship when there's one person doing all the giving and the other person is doing all the taking. That's a severely unhealthy balance, and there's a lot of relationships out there where one person is as stiff as a board, and they want the other person to bend to their will. But that's not the way a healthy relationship works. A healthy relationship works when you bend together and you kind of work together. If you listen to the folks on the panel who have been married for a number of years, you hear them talk about how their relationship works because they understand each other. They and their spouse understand each other. They understand the dynamics of the relationship and how, you know, the husband may be better at one thing, like the brother said, that he's great with paying bills and taxes and things like that, and his wife is a great organizer. She can plan great vacations. Same thing works in my household. My wife is great with money. You know, she can stretch a dollar up the street, around the corner and back. You know, and I love her for that. You know what I mean? And so I have no problems with you know, handing her my debit card or whatever and say, hey, baby, pay those bills, you know.
Right.
And I'm good with, you know, dealing with the kids and making sure that they're in line at all times, you know. We understand the way each other work. I'm real big on analogies. A lot of times a relationship, as quirky as it may sound, it's kind of like two people carrying a sofa and trying to get it either into or out of a house. If you ever carried a sofa before, one of the things you have to have is you have to trust that person, you know, because if they drop it, exactly, you got to work together, because if that person is not carrying their end of the load, if they're not putting in their share of the work, it's going to put more strain on you, and you're going to end up getting hurt. If you don't communicate with that other person and say, hey, we need to turn it this way, or we need to make this adjustment, you're not going to accomplish your goal, you know. And if that person doesn't respect you enough and just drops their end of the load, then guess what? You're going to end up getting hurt. It's all about, a lot of people have been talking about who wears the pants. I think you have to share the pants. You gotta strip down
you
your old dynamics.
You need to get rid of the pants. Everybody wears skirts.
That's another conversation. I think getting rid of the pants. But
I'll do in y'all bedrooms is y'all bedrooms.
Yeah, but I think sharing the pants.
We did
say
role reversal. We did say role reversal.
I'm just saying, people.
But I think one of the things that we may be missing here is that aside from money, that money can destroy some relationships, but there's also the issue of fidelity.
It is.
That's a big thing, too.
That's a whole other show. But let me just tell you this. Let me just tell you this. I will say this, and I'm going to tell you what works for me. And I don't think it's nothing grand or special, because let me tell you something. What you think you got, a million people got. If you think you're pretty, it's somebody even prettier. If you think you have money, it's somebody that's richer. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It ultimately comes down to putting each other first. I feel like when I put my husband first, he gets everything that he needs from the relationship, and he puts me first, and I get what I need. I feel like I communicate, he communicates, we discuss, we agree to disagree, and then we come back together. And that is what has lasted us through all these years, and that's just my opinion. I mean, I feel like selfishness is the path to divorce. Seriously, you just might as well just say forget about it, because in a relationship, in a marriage, you have to put the other person first. Sometimes you just have to. When that person is crying, you make them smile. When that person, you uplift the other person, and as long as you keep uplifting each other, it's equally yoked, it's equally balanced. Because guess what? It's rough when both people have a bad day. It's rough. So when I keep having a bad day, I'm making my business to uplift him, and vice versa.
Y'all starting to preach a word, and that's actually where our conversation is about to shift in a minute. Before that, I do want to say...
We're not going to go here, because Stacey, you know I can go here.
Hold on. Look. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mindshift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and my partner, Sister Big Bones, on the mic with our roundtable discussion. Our guest panel is off the chain. I want to say that you turned it where it needs to go. Chris Gloss is in the chat room talking about preach, sister. He's talking about an offering for you, Tia. And I heard some of you guys make some comments, and that's part of where we want to go with the show. Before we go there, I noticed that we're running short on time, and I have some screamers in the chat room, i.e. Chris Gloss, asking for us to extend the show. Just want to find out if you guys are okay staying about another 10 or 15 minutes. Do you guys have time to do that?
I'm good.
Okay. Good. J.R. McCartney, everybody's good?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty, cool. Let's keep it going. So I do want to hear from you in a second, sister. I'm going to just read something really quick that was shared in the chat room. There's so much there, but then I'm going to pass it to you, too. But Billy Miller, motivational minister, I knew my brother was going to represent. Okay, so in the chat room, oh gosh, I don't even know which one to read, Billy. He just has so much there. But there was one in particular, I think it was 1 Timothy, that I wanted to read. But let me see what else he has there. Okay, he has so much. But anywho, he did quote scripture in there, and it said, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay, that was one that he shared. And then Tia just went into, Tia just went there as well. And, you know, Chris Groff made a comment that says, you know, it only becomes, quote, unquote, my money when you forget that God is your source. Okay, so that was another comment that was shared.
That was the end of it. That was the end all to be all, what he just said. What he just said, quote, bio, because really, we ain't in control of nothing. If y'all really want to get technical, so that's why when God provides for me and I am the one who is, let me tell you, again, he was the breadwinner. I'm just saying breadwinner because that's the term we're using, not because that's what I believe in.
All righty, and one more. Hold on, yes. See, there's one more. Okay, I know you do. Bless your heart. Okay, money is an amplifier. This is from Billy Miller. Money's an amplifier. It amplifies what's in your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the final piece I want to share, sister, I'm going to pass it to you, is Faith Renee, and I love this as well, Faith, and shout out to you. She says, I guess I'm a little old-fashioned because I still believe a husband who puts the Lord first should have the final say in all matters. If he is loving his wife like Christ loved the church, it will all work out. So, sister, what are your thoughts about what we've been hearing so far?
I love it. Many of the sentiments I echo. But one thing that I'm not hearing is what I hear often amongst other friends is if a man isn't providing, not only do women not think he's a man, if you will, but also his boys are clowning him about not being a man. So there are certain things about that whole provision piece and understanding, but like what that looks like and how those conversations go. Because yeah, it's great if the female's making more money, and statistically, African American women who are educated and all that tend to make more money than their male mates. And McCartney mentioned it. He said, you know, it was killing him inside that his woman was getting up and going to work, that was eating him up. And so where's the conversation about that? Because, you know, and the reality that women, we slay our men and beat our men up with our tongues instead of building them up. And we're quick to say, I had this before you. I could afford this without you. I make more money than you. You know, we're really quick to say that. So where's that conversation about that? Because that's really what's going on, and that's what we're talking about amongst our girlfriends and amongst our boys.
Can I speak to that?
Ooh. Okay, you can speak first, but I really got something to say about this because I've been in that situation too, and go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, in reference to what she was talking about during the period, when my wife was getting up going to work and I was having to stay at home, that my wife was actually very supportive of me during that period, because we actually made the conscious decision that the job that I was doing at that time just wasn't the best thing for our family. On the contrary to being kind of beating me down, she was actually very supportive, as she's always been. That's one of the reasons why my wife is my wife, is because, I mean, throughout the entire time that I've known her, from when she met me, I was 22 years old, sleeping on my mama's couch, driving a piece of junk car, you know, she treated me like I was the king of the world, you know. And that has never, even throughout the years when we went through so many ups and downs our relationships, there were times when any time that I've ever been down, even when we weren't, quote-unquote, together, even when there were times when we were almost like enemies before we got married, any time that I've been down, she's always been there. She's always been there with her hand extended out, ready to help me, not always financially, sometimes emotionally. And I think that's how, if there's any women out there that are listening or anything like that, and you're wondering, well, how do I get to that point to where I can you know, have somebody get down on one knee and ask them to marry me, is to how supportive are you of your man? Are you there through the good and the bad? Because when you take those vows, that's one of the vows that you take, for better or for worse. And she Amen. And she has proved, she spent the better part of a decade proving that to me before we even got married. That better or worse, she has always been there for me. Always been there for me. And that's why there's not a, there's nothing no other woman can say or do that'll make me stray away from my wife and my marriage, because she's shown and proved to me that she's going to be there for me through the good and the bad. And
now let me just clarify this. Now I will say this: a lot of people are talking about, you know, it's men that ain't doing this, ain't doing that, and you know, some men want to sit home and do nothing. That's what I'm hearing. Nobody's saying it, but that's what I'm hearing. What I'm saying to you, it's a difference between circumstances and just being lazy. Now, if this is a lazy man that don't want to do anything, that's completely different than a man that his circumstances are dictating what's going on. And can I say this? We as women have to own our own responsibility. There is no knight in shining armor. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have a man that spoils me beyond recognition. Stacey will tell you, I'm covered in diamonds. I don't want for nothing. He will blah, blah, blah. And that's not to brag. That's just saying that he works hard. He works his back every day for me. This is the same man that the business that provides the diamonds for me is that I had to say, quit the job that you at and start your own business. So I feel like when you're rooted in God, it all comes to fruition. Don't get me wrong. Everybody sees the red flags. If it's not right, it's not right. And it ain't going to work out. But what I'm saying to you is you have to support each other. You can't keep saying, oh, he ain't working right now. Let me tell you, nobody works to work. You don't want to work at McDonald's, so why should he? I don't want my man to work for Dago McDonald's.
Sister, real quick, my dad told me no matter what your wife is doing, you should try to find a way to contribute, no matter what. Meaning, even if she's making Oprah money, right?
Listen,
I'm still going to try to find a way to contribute. Now,
I didn't misunderstand you at all.
My point is that, you know, a lazy man inherits the wind. So you're 100% right, though. If you have the opportunity to be the breadwinner, my wife came up with the idea for the business, but I was so motivated, I took the business to the next level. It was her idea, but I'm CEO. But it was her business idea.
It.
She's vice president, but I'm CEO because
she was willing to
let me into that role. You know,
and
your
family is better for it. I thank God. I love when I hear those kind of words, because ultimately what I hear when I'm listening to all these people is nobody is working together. If you can't work with your partner together to uplift your family, then maybe it's not a partnership. I'm just going to put it out there.
The other side of it is that there are a lot of women, and a pastor, my old pastor at once preached that when a woman is making more money, it's a woman can what you call usurp authority, meaning it's difficult
like
if she's been working, you know, 10 hours for the day, and she comes home and the home is in. I don't clean the kitchen the way my wife cleans the kitchen, unfortunately. I wish I could clean it better than she does.
Unfortunately, I'm going to give y'all lessons. Go ahead.
but there tends to be that situation where women will throw that back in your face. It's my car, I'm making the money, and I'm not saying it's a woman's nature, but I've seen it too many times. Just like it tends to be in a man's nature sometimes to throw that up. Well, I'm the one who pays the bills around here, so that's where the doctor said about the level of maturity has to come in. But what's so important is we need God in our marriages as our gauge, because He'll keep us in check.
Amen. When I see people do that, even if you're not married, and I'm gonna be honest with you, read Stormy O'Neal's Power of a Praying Wife, Power of a Praying Husband. If you start praying for each other instead of praying for yourself and being selfish, you will understand that it's not about you. when he gets it right and you get it right, it's all going to work out in the wash. Trust me. Trust me.
So why don't more sisters think that? Why don't more sisters and brothers think
that way?
I
don't know their backgrounds. I don't know what's happened to them in the past. I don't know what their thinking is. But I will say this, my brother. I myself, even though I got most of it right, and I think I got a lot right, I'm still a work in progress. And I'm just going to tell you. So whenever I see myself or I see me and my husband bump heads, I step back. He stepped back, and we reevaluate what we're thinking. And then we kind of communicate and come to, okay, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm feeling. And a lot of it has to do with communication. And let me tell you something. Ain't nobody really in control. God is in control. And then when we stop believing that, I ain't in the driver's seat. God is in the driver's seat. So we stop tripping off this other bull, we'll be good. Trust me. But let me let somebody else speak, because you know I could talk for days, Stacey. So
I heard a common thread between both of between what you said and as well as what JR said. I heard communication. I heard that one part in terms of what you guys both agreed on is that the communication is key.
You got it. Communication is key, and
I like the fact that I heard. Throughout this last communication that you guys had, this last dialogue that you guys shared just now, I started to hear that we became more French in the conversation. I started to hear a lot more we, and that's always a good thing, to hear more of the we's and not the I's. I did this, he did that, but I heard more of the we, so I can hear a transition in the conversation, and that's awesome. So, sister, what do you have to say to that?
It's about the we. I have a question or a point to ponder, and Stella mentioned it, and Junior kind of alluded to it in talking about usurping authority or whatever. But do you think that sometimes when we move each other outside of how we're built or how we're created, in terms of, like, the provision and the nurturing aspect, mm-hmm. that things go awry. Stella mentioned the gentleman moving in with her, mm-hmm. and the Bible speaks of he goes to prepare a place for, not that he moves in with the place already prepared.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Do you think sometimes that skews things, that throws things off?
I think, I'm going to just put this out there. I think when God is in there, and when he is a part of every decision, even if the decision is not right, you know what God talks in your ear and say, no, that's not the right thing to do. But when you're in constant prayer and the two people are grounded in God, it will eventually work out. What we have to remember, everybody is not equally yoked. Everybody is not going to be on board with your thought and your process. It's whether you're willing to rehabilitate yourself to the right thing. Because let me tell you, a lot of us come from some messed up backgrounds. And it's just what we have to do to rehabilitate ourselves and become a couple. You got to leave the negativity behind and actually kind of embrace the new you and learn new things and learn new ways to go about things. And I don't think a lot of people just want to be stuck in their ways. They want to be selfish. Selfish has been used a lot of times this night. Selfish is a key word. They want to be selfish, and they want to say, this is the way it is, this is the way I say it is, and that's the way it is. No. When you are a couple, it's no longer I. It's we. And we need to figure this out. And why do you feel, man, y'all, I could go on and on, because I'm telling you, my husband is y'all want me to go. You know,
well, you know, and I like what you just said. I mean, you talked about how we have to think differently, and hence the title of the show is what? Mind Shift Talk Radio. I like that. See, that was so cute how that just worked out. It just worked perfectly. But, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and my partner in success, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. Our guest panel is fired up, passionate, just it's a great conversation. I can say that. There's tons of energy and a lot of great input that you guys are sharing. So I definitely appreciate the perspectives that you guys are sharing. But, again, it is mind shift. And so just talked about how there has to be communication, obviously. You know, Billy made a great point in the chat room about having to have agreement as well when we have that communication. And I want to go back to Kalina because, Kalina, we know that you've counseled several couples, and there has to be a mind shift even going into marriage, or even if there isn't a marriage, but just having some type of communion within that relationship in terms of seeing things from the same perspective. So how do you deal with this challenge when you're having people come to you for counseling and, you know, they're just on two different ends of the spectrum? How do you help them to kind of converge those two paradigms into one?
Wow.
No, then you kind of like give you this long question, rolling into your bomb if you can answer all that. But
She can do it. She's
an
expert. Go ahead,
but I'm gonna let go right now because I have a few things I need to do. But I've enjoyed this conversation. It was lively. It was just introspective. It was great. And Rowena, I think you're amazing. And I will be sending some people your way. Trust in me, okay? Because they ain't listening to me, girl. You got the degree, so they ain't coming to you. But anyway, good night, everyone.
Thank you, Tia. Good night. Thank you. All right, Kalina, so what do you have to say?
The easiest way to answer that would be probably not to answer it. So since I'm not accustomed to taking the easy way out, let me attempt to do it the quickest. And that would be basically to repeat what I said. It seems a little simplistic. However, it's very, very intense if we ever take the time to really research it. Everything that we've talked about tonight, up to and including our understanding of spirituality, has to do with maturity. Because when you talk about the Bible talks about studying to find yourself approved. Because study has to do with growing in the understanding and the knowledge of. And when we have not studied, be it whatever, then we find ourselves to be immature in the information. And the problem with immaturity is that we don't understand that we don't understand. So everything is capitalized in the understanding that you don't understand. And then the next thing is to have the desire to gain that understanding. And the third step would have the tenacity to work to get to that point. So those are the things. One, first, understand that you don't understand. Two, having desire to understand. And three, having the ability to work to get to the point of understanding. That's what that's about.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks. Go ahead, sis.
I'm looking for the little can to pass around for the offering. Something around.
Yeah, I wanted to interject also since we had, if we leave the roles up to God, and again we don't want to label, but did God label man and woman? Did God put a role on man and woman? Because as the man, the Bible tells you what a man should be doing. It also talks about in Deuteronomy that a woman shouldn't act as a man, in Deuteronomy 22:5, that a woman acting like a man is wrong and vice versa. So did God give us roles? Did he give us labels? Or did he just call us human? Because he did say he made male and female.
And can I say this? I go back again and saying that when we understand our own original orientation, so with respect to all of what you're saying about religion and spirituality, the bottom line still goes back to being mature enough to understand who you are cohabitating with, dating, deciding to date, because that person, and if you go with what your belief system says, is evenly yoked, then that would then have precedence. But that person would have to come from that same mindset for that to have precedence.
That makes sense. I do want to just put a pause in the conversation just for a minute because we do have someone else that's in the call queue that would like to share share their own perspective as well in terms of the conversation that we're having. So I want to go ahead and introduce Taylor. We have Taylor from New Orleans. Hey, Taylor, welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio.
Thank you.
All right, what do you have for us?
Well, the problem that society has continued to find is that while we rightly pursue for women and men to be treated equally, we end up falling into the problem of trying to treat them the same. and that's the definitive difference between the two. But where there's an exception is in the relationship, because the whole point of a relationship is to give yourself entirely to each other. It means that the trash needs to be taken out. It doesn't matter who does it as long as someone does. It doesn't matter who initiates sex as long as both of them end up satisfied with being in the arms of one another. The life of a true lover, a true parent, and a true relationship has no gender roles, no exclusive task for which only one person can do. And this idea that we keep perpetuating, this idea that a man ought to do one thing and a woman another, is partially responsible for the problems in these relationships.
Mm.
Wow.
All right.
If you listen to the two brothers, If you listen to the two brothers, then you hear what I'm talking about, which is, it sounds like the brother that from New Orleans comes from his own original orientation, and I don't claim to know it. I'm just hearing it. And the brother that's been on the line all night comes from his original orientation. I don't claim to know it. I'm just saying what I hear. So then each of them would want to mate with someone that's more similar to their orientation. Then once you found that, even inside of that, you want to find someone who's mature in that orientation. And the next step is find that your maturity is evenly yoked. Because even if you're from the same or similar orientation, you can still be at different maturity levels in that. That is it. That is the cause of all of the issues that we're talking about. Because if you're talking from a third grade level and I'm talking from a 12th grade level, we may be talking on the same subject, but we're not talking in the same language.
I agree. Now, and it's, I have, I'm going to be transparent as far, well, not me. I have a friend who is married to a bisexual woman, and he's okay with that. And I'm not okay with that. I wouldn't be okay with that type of relationship. And that's an extreme. Just like being in a relationship where my wife is the breadwinner. Yes. So now, if I had to base it, and not to bring the Bible into it, but we are bringing the Bible into it. If I had to base it off of my belief system and how I was raised and what I was taught, you really are 100% right. In a relationship, does a man initiate sex? In a marriage, does a woman initiate sex? No. Whoever is feeling it that night is the one that would initiate. However, we've been taught through our churches and from parents that normally the man would initiate sex. That's changing now. Now, am I willing to change? Am I conservative or am I liberal? I'm liberal enough to explore without it changing my orientation.
Well,
all right.
Well, we adjust your orientation, honey.
You said adjust. Say that again.
Man,
she said adjust your orientation.
Adjust my orientation, okay.
Yes. But we still have Taylor on the line, and I know that Taylor. Hold on one second, Queen. I know that Taylor wants to comment on what JR just shared, so we'll go ahead and let Taylor respond to that because we have to let him go. Go ahead, Taylor.
I just want to say I personally haven't been taught anything. Yes, my parents tried to tell me what I ought to do, but no man or woman is raised to be who she is. She or he establishes and forges their own character. So, I mean, all my life, I come from a very Catholic family. I decided I was going to be Buddhist when I was 8. And it doesn't affect, you know, there's no Buddhist ways on having a relationship. There's no rules on it. So I had to simply establish what I wanted in a woman, what kind of relationship I wanted to have. And I did, you know, but I saw the good and the bad. I saw good men and bad men treat women differently and decided who I wanted to emulate. And I'm responsible for that. So, you know, I don't think anyone can ever be raised a certain way. I think they can allow themselves to do what those have done before them or what their religious text says. But I think in the end, it's the responsibility of that person to say, you know what? Does it really matter? You know, like someone said, you know, find someone with your orientation. You know, does it matter? If I find a woman and I fall in love with her and she loves me and she wants me to do the, you know, stereotypically man things, then as long as it doesn't violate my conviction, I have no problem with that. You know, that's the whole point. It's about being malleable, about doing what's best for the other person. And if both people do that, it's set for life.
Are you still Buddhist?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Taylor. Well, thank you for calling in and for sharing your perspective. It was great having you on.
Thank you.
All right, so we are coming up towards the end of our show. I just want to thank you all again, those of you all that have been. We've already extended. We can't extend anymore because we all have to go to bed at some point. I do want to thank all of you that are listening. We're going to wrap it up shortly. Thank you to all of you. I mean, the chat room is, I don't know how many pages long. You guys are, like, really getting busy in the chat room. So thank you. Billy's over there talking about snap, 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 snap. So I really like everything that Taylor shared as well. Before we let you guys go, JR and Kalina, I'd like for you guys just to share your final thoughts in terms of tonight's discussion. If there was one thing, one takeaway you could leave with our listeners, what would that be? And I'll start with you, JR.
I would say constant communication between your spouse and your mate to make sure that you are understanding each other. So I've been married now over 16 years. And even tonight, when I'm going to sit down and talk to my wife, just to confer and make sure that, you know, I'm working on my marriage while it's good, not while it's bad, and understanding what my I still agree to disagree. My role as a father, my role as a husband, has certain standards or certain I would hate to say. Well, roles that I'm going to follow based on how not just my parents and my church shaped me, but how God had shaped me.
All right. Thanks, JR. I don't know if we lost JR or not.
No, I'm right here. I'm still here.
You're there?
I didn't want to be too long.
Oh, okay. I got really quiet, but thank you, JR. And Kalina, what are your final thoughts? What do you want to leave with the listeners?
Definitely define words, because the most important thing in communicating is to be communicating. So if you're talking about love, define what love means to you and listen to the definition of the other person. And then begin to realize that you may be talking about two totally different things. That's most important. And that's across the board, because we take so much for granted that we're really getting through with the others. And a lot of times we don't stop to ask questions. We just assume and we keep going. So it's most important that we're clear that we're really talking about the same thing. And I don't know if you have my new number, Stacy. But let me give it to you. It's 888-686-5010. And I invite every and anyone to call me. I'm open. I love sharing. And I absolutely applaud you for making this possible, because we have to start a conversation if we're ever going to get to the solution.
Can you say that number one more time? Can you repeat the number once more?
888-686-5010.
And, you know, Kalina, before we let you go, and we'll be sharing your contact information, ladies and gentlemen, we will share the contact information for Kalina on our Facebook page as well. So if you want to get some information, make sure you check out our Facebook page at Mindshift Talk Radio. But before we let you go, Kalina, I was going to let you go, and then we have, like, a question in the chat room. A few people have asked, why did you want to find out whether or not Taylor was still Buddhist?
Because I'm always interested in where people start, where they are, and where they possibly might end up. So my curiosity is what the question was about, this mere personal, not professional, curiosity.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you, ma'am. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
You're welcome. And again, I absolutely enjoyed it, and I look forward to you and everyone else who has a conscious mind for a solution to continue And if you ever need me, give me a call. You know I'll come.
I sure will. I will be reaching out to you. Thank you, and have a good night.
Good night.
All righty, so Sister Big Mom and JR, thank you so much, JR, for joining us tonight. You were awesome. You know, I actually
told
that
was
Sister
something
Big
else.
Mom, yeah, I told Sister Big Mom that it seems like you're trying to take our job.
My jaws is wet. My drawers is wet. I gotta go take a shower.
Oh.
I was sweating. See?
You're trying to take our job on here, but you were awesome. So thank you so much for joining us and for tuning in tonight. And JR, I will say this. If you're not our friend on Facebook yet, I need you to go ahead and become
I'm
our
already,
friend tonight.
I'm already your friend on Facebook. I'm already your friend for life. Now, this was awesome. So well needed. So well needed on a broader forum. So I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you to go mainstream, radio, television. Man, this could heal relationships, heal the world. This is just awesome.
Heal
you guys are awesome.
We receive that in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me? Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. We appreciate you. All right. So before we end the show, you guys know we have to have our Mind Shift Minute, and the Mind Shift Minute comes from none other than Sister Big Bone. So let's go ahead and do it.
Right eye, bend bang, soft head, earring. Just a few of the things I like about you.
This is your Mind Shift Minute with Sister Big Bone.
Can a brother walk you home?
Can I walk right beside you?
In a society in which men and women are both wearing the pants, figuratively and literally, it's important to have candid conversations about roles and expectations, period, and sooner rather than later. What did you witness growing up? How did you respond? What have you experienced in previous relationships? For me, my dad believed that a woman's work was inside the house and the man was responsible for the outside. He did all the yard work and house repairs, majority of the driving, unless he was extremely tired or inebriated, pumped the gas, and always made sure Mama's car was washed on Saturdays and filled on Sundays. However, he also taught me how to cook and clean and watch after my little brother, who had to take out the trash and replace the trash bag. Somebody needed that reminder, I'm sure. For various reasons, he worked one job and my mother worked two, so he was home every day by 5 and on weekends. He would tell me no man wanted a woman who couldn't cook, and I would tell him I didn't want a man who couldn't cook either. Yet he also taught me how to check my oil and change a tire and encouraged me to go to college so that I wouldn't have to depend on a man and could earn a living wage. One of my favorite quotes says that woman was taken out of man, not out of his head to top him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on, but out of his side to be equal to him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. Last week I saw a fitting companion to this on a friend's Facebook page that said, a man deserves a woman who calls him baby, makes love to him without questions, supplies a massage just because, provides dinner after a long day at work, doesn't cheat or lie, will understand if he cries because he too is only human, doesn't make him jealous of another man but makes darn sure that all men are jealous of him, lets him be the man of the house, allows him to be himself and accepts him for who he is headstrong and outspoken, yet knows her place, and that lets him know that he is the sun in her morning, the stars in her night, the king to her throne, and the keeper to her heart. The more things change, the more things stay the same. What my family did worked for them and us and has influenced my expectations. There's no cookie-cutter answer to what works for a relationship. The success or failure is contingent upon the two parties involved. It's not as much about gender roles as it is about open, honest communication around these roles, responsibilities, and expectations. It matters not who wears what as long as whatever you're wearing fits you. Instead of thinking of your relationship as an individual competition, view it as a team sport, T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. I'm the Big Boned One, and this has been your Mind Shift Minute with Sister Big Bones on Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Dr. Ayo Kadar.
Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead, sister. I always love your Mind Shift Minute. It is always so on point. Thank you so much for your Mind Shift Minute tonight, and thank you for being here with me and holding it down. As you can see, it was about to get a little rowdy. I need somebody to handle my lightweight. So thank you so much, sis. But again, thank you to all of you that have tuned in. Thank you. I mean, there's so many of you all on the phone lines. And again, I apologize for not being able to get your calls, but thank you for tuning in. Thank you to all of you in the chat room that held it down with us tonight. And again, as I say every single week, make sure that you're staying connected with us every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. We're always having a great mind-shifting conversation, and it is the perfect way to get your week started. We have guests here that talk about, like I said, relationships. We talk about your personal growth, your spirituality, your professional development as well. So there's always something here. Make sure that you're sharing the replays with your friends and family members. Tell them to join us on Facebook, and tell them to make sure that they check out the replays at mindshifttalkradio.com. But again, I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by Woo-hoo! The phenomenal Sister Big Bones, and it has been a pleasure having you guys here with us tonight. Yes, Sister Big Bones, you guys take care, be blessed, and have a phenomenal mind-shifting week. And we'll see you guys soon. Take care and be blessed. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Mind Shift Radio.